that music means it is time to talk sports with Stroman here on 97.9 The Hill. I am joined on the phone, as I am most Fridays, with the one, the only, the professor, Deb Stroman. And Deb, it's been a great and very busy week. I know that you had a lot of stuff going on, but we've got a really busy sports weekend coming up too.
We certainly do. I've had a filled week. I had the opportunity to chat with some NFL players, some leaders, Dr. Michael Eric Dyson around Super Bowl week. And here we are today, 2 days away from the Super Bowl, when I think the nation is pretty split. I think there are folks at my age, not yours, Brighton, who appreciate the old man competing with the younger guys, as in Tom Brady, 43 years old. And then the rest of the nation loves this young gun who's athletic. He runs all over the field. He has a rifle arm. So it really should be a compelling game, and plenty of time to still do smack talk with your friend.
Absolutely. Not to sound too neutral, but I am impressed with both of these quarterbacks. I'm not going to lie, Deb. I grew up not being a fan of Tom Brady because he defeated my beloved Carolina Panthers in the Super Bowl. And I was like 5 or 6 years old at the time, which means that I now cannot stand that man. And as he just continued to win and win and win with the Patriots, it's just, I don't like it when people win all the time. I think I didn't like Roger Federer or LeBron James or Kobe when I was younger too, because I wanted other people to win. But I mean, since I've grown up, I've obviously changed and really can appreciate their greatness. And what Tom Brady is doing is just absolutely remarkable at his age. He has kept himself in some incredibly great shape, and there's also no doubt that he's got a really, really talented team around him too.
That's right. Well, I am I'm going back and forth. There's no doubt the GOAT. I mean, how can you bet against Tom Brady? But what they're saying is Patrick Mahomes, quarterback for the Chiefs, he's the baby GOAT, and so you can't go wrong there. Both great quarterbacks. But then, as much as I want Kansas City, you can't be upset if Tampa Bay wins, because they have two women. They have two female assistant coaches, and they're doing more than just, walking out with a water bottle. Not that that is even a position at the NFL level. But we've got a strength and conditioning coach. And so, the talent, the gifts that you have to be able to motivate guys and also teach them about their body. So that's amazing. So I'm really, really happy that Coach Arians has supported women in that respect. I'll also say that the other coach actually being out there on the field in the sense of teaching the guys how to play, I think that's amazing as well. And then also note that we have a female referee in this game. So that's another thing to look at. So I'm going back and forth, but I'm leading towards the Chiefs. But I'll be okay if the Tampa Bay wins as well.
Yeah, I think that this game, obviously the focus is on both of the quarterbacks, but that to me gives us reason to take a look at the flip side. I think it's going to be whose defense can actually stand up a good bit. And I do think that Tampa Bay's defense has a bit of an edge. They just know how to rush the quarterback a little bit better, although Frank Clark on the defensive line of the Chiefs is just a wrecking ball inside. I think it ultimately comes down to who can pressure the quarterback more. And for Tampa Bay, it's, okay, can you scheme and make it so you're able to pick your poison between all of the Chiefs' many downfield targets that they have? But if you can rush some decisions from Patrick Mahomes, and certainly if you can rush some decisions from Tom Brady, I feel like that's where the game is ultimately going to be swung.
And that's where the female coach is on the field. That is Locust. She is the assistant defensive line coach. So it's really, really a good marketing game. It should be a lot of action in the sense, not one of those boring games that we've had over many, many years, recent years. But I'm just sensing that Chiefs are going to find a way, and especially when you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, who can just do so many things so well.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to look this up for a second here, just as a reminder, but now second straight year that we've had women coaches in the Super Bowl, since Katie Sowers was a coach, might still be a coach with the 49ers. She was in it last year when the 49ers faced off with the Chiefs. So really great to see, really great progress. And as you said, also the woman referee who's going to be involved in the game too, it just makes sense. And it's great to see the beginning of more representation in the NFL. Now, obviously, for Carolina Duke fans, perhaps the biggest game of the weekend will be coming almost 24 hours ahead of time. I can't remember the last time that Duke and Carolina fell on the same weekend as the Super Bowl, but this really is the holy grail for sports fans here in the Triangle area, even though both Duke and Carolina aren't as highly touted and lauded as they have been in years past.
Well, it is another historical game. Neither school is ranked in the AP top 25. More than 60 years have passed since an unranked Carolina team has played an unranked Duke team. There's going to be no Cameron Crazy. In fact, I noticed early on that Duke was one of the first schools early on to pipe in their music to create that buzz or that extra energy in the gym. It's really going to be interesting. I know the tough part for coaches is player development, and when you don't have the time to spend with them, and whether that is on the court or just the other things that you do in terms of bonding, that's affected a lot of the programs this year. And the Blue Devils have played just 13 times. Carolina's played 4 more games. So I guess you could say the Carolina's had more opportunities. But still, you know, it's just like any Carolina-Duke game. You throw out the analytics. You throw out everything. They're just going to play their hearts out and try to have ownership of the rivalry this year.
Speaking with Dr.
The first game.
Yeah, absolutely. And who knows what's going to happen in the second game on March 6th. We're speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman. Deb, what do you think is going to be the key to the game for Carolina to come out on top?
Well, there's a lot of things that people can point at and say, Carolina, what is going on? You know, everything from they're definitely dominating in rebounding, right? But defensive rebounding, that's where they're not doing as well. Teams can offensive rebound against Carolina. In terms of shooting, not shooting well, so we might see a lineup change again. Leaky Black has been consistent. He's in the sense of leading the team in assists and steals. But I would say the keys are, number one, our bench. Our bench has outperformed all the other opponents' benches, which has surprised a lot of people. And then I would have to say shot selection. I love to see the big guys get layups, make the extra pass, the high-low. So I'm hoping that the bench outperforms Duke's bench, and I'm hoping that we take good shots, high-percentage shots, and that should be enough to win this game.
Yeah, I think that's going to be certainly an important factor. And with both of these teams being young, I suppose you could say this for every game, but just limiting the amount of mistakes. I think whoever does that should be the one who comes out on top, since neither of these teams have just an absolute, you know, transcendent talent of a player or cohesiveness at the moment to overcome some big mistakes. You know, Carolina shot themselves in the foot against Clemson with 17 turnovers. I think if it's fair to say if they turn the ball over that much and can't get some offense going against Duke, they should see some real problems Saturday night as well.
Well, that's one of those categories I say that's in the hopeful.
Yes.
Because I'm not betting on it. These young players in the biggest game of the year for them, I imagine there's going to be lots of turnovers. So
yeah.
I'm going towards the hustle from the guys coming off the bench and the shot selection. But I'm hoping the turnovers are low, but I'm not going there.
We're speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman. Got to begin to wrap up, Deb. I do want to get your thoughts on one piece of news from this week in the NBA. The NBA apparently is in talks to ultimately hold its All-Star game down in Atlanta sometime in March. And we've seen some players, including LeBron James, speak out pretty strongly against this happening. I wanted to get your reaction to the NBA having talks about holding an All-Star game in the first place amid a pandemic, as this change comes amid a bunch of changes to COVID-19 protocols they're doing. This move really surprised me. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it, too.
Well, this is an example of why people are turning away from sports. It's an example of clearly what is going on in terms of the commercialization. Now, this is professional sports. We know it's a big business, but this just flies in the face of everything when we say that we care about people, we care about athletes, that it's not all about the money. No, it is all about the money. This is clearly an entertainment move to make money, and that we will risk players' lives for this, that we would risk fans, who knows how many they're going to let in the arena. I think they're looking at March 7th as the game. The family members, again, you're not surprised. You're not surprised, but it still is troubling. It's troubling that they would make something like this happen. That's my point. Yeah.
I think that's, I think that a lot of people feel that way too, Deb. Well, enjoy this Holy Grail sports weekend. We'll be looking forward to talking with you again next Friday after we have some pretty big results under our belts. We'll be in a new sports landscape for this winter.
Absolutely. Go Tar Heels, the better blue.
Go Tar Heels indeed. Thanks so much, Deb.